Welcome to today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. I'm Andrew Schneider. Executive leader of Many Hands for Haiti, Tim Brand, joins us on today's program to talk about the second Pignong and Pella event.
With the fundraiser itself, what are some of the things you are going to be able to do this year, considering all the different health restrictions and guidelines and some of the things that you do have planned for this year's fundraiser?
What people don't necessarily know is Haiti had the same level of COVID exposure as what we had. Come March, we started to have to shut things down. The average person in Haiti makes $1.25 a day. And so our families are in the very poorest of the poor. We're in a very rural part of the country. And that meant schools had to be closed as well. For about 5 months, they were closed. And that's where primarily the kids get fed. And so food has become very scarce, not because it's not around, but because it's tough for people to afford. Schools are shut down. Jobs are less. Transportation's less. Same things that we deal with here as far as economic fallout. In addition to that, they've had just incredible rising inflation rates. And so part of this fundraiser is to go back and allow us, we just opened school back up in August. So to continue to sustain our ability to serve our schools, as well as serve our mothers and young children. So we have over 315 families that we serve on a daily basis with children under the age of 5 and mothers of those children. And part of what we're trying to do is to buy all of our food local. So when we can buy our food local, which means we're buying our meat local, buying our rice and our beans local, that allows for economic opportunities to happen in our area. So we're providing for economically people to sell their goods, to sell their rice and beans. So again, remember, schools are closed. And so when schools are closed, churches are closed, feedings are closed, it's a tougher for them to be able to sell that. So part of this fundraiser this year is to continue to bring in funds to allow us to continue the program that we're having. We also hope in 2022 that we're gonna prepare in 21 to open beginning of 22 is to open another center. And so we've got two centers right now that we run, which meet 315 people, families, and that we're gonna open up a third center in the beginning of 22, which means 21 is when we're really gonna have to hit it hard as far as raising the money. And so laying the foundations for what that'll look like in 21 so that we can bring out another between 150 to 200 families, which then brings us up to about 450 to 500 families that we're serving on a daily basis, economic, spiritual, and physical needs that are being met.
Well, and, you know, you've talked a little bit about it. So a year ago, this event came because there was a lot of political unrest and you were having issues getting people into the country. This year, you have different concerns, but mainly because of COVID-19. How is the staff, especially in Haiti, handling this entire situation? And mainly, how are the people that you're helping impacted because this virus, as you said, has been widespread and had huge economic impact here in America, one of the top countries in the world economically? I can't imagine, how bad it's gotten in a country like Haiti, where there's already been strife and struggle beyond the politics of last year and now COVID-19?
We have 58 Haitians on staff. These are full-time employees. We also have 6 Americans that are full-time down in Haiti. And so we, August, were able to bring, everyone was up and running. Through all this, we did pay all of our staff. We didn't lay off a single person. And in fact, during that time, our staff distributed over 44,000 pounds of food that went out to our families. We were able to produce over 2,000 masks that went out to our families. We were able to do over 60 hand washing stations in the different communities that we serve. And so our staff didn't just sit around and twiddle their thumbs and try to figure out, oh, what do we do? They stayed active and stayed busy, even though they had every right to just shut down. I mean, we had to shut down our campus. We had to close the gates, all those kind of things. We couldn't meet in groups of 5 or more. But our staff still found a way to provide for our families and our communities by doing food distributions where people could just come through one at a time and get food and then leave and go home to home and deliver gifts such as masks and hand washing kits. And so moving forward, they are starting to, all the services are ramping back up again, which is great. But for them mentally, the thing is they've dealt with the ability to know that if I get sick, there's a possibility I might die. They've already dealt with their own mortality. If they get a mosquito bite and it has malaria, there's 10,500 people to every one doctor in Haiti. So if they get really sick, there's a good chance there's no doctor that's going to see them. So mentally, they're actually pretty good comparatively, I would say. A part of that's because of what they've dealt with. And that's the good thing for me is I see that in them. I hear that in their voices and their stories. And it gives me hope because they are dealing with things that I haven't dealt with on a daily basis. And that's part of why we have this saying of transforming together, because we feel like we are better people because we are interacting on a daily basis with people in Haiti, and Haitians are dealing with us. And so we have some gifts and resources to be able to provide for them, some education, particularly around medical side of things. But in turn, they have a spirit that they can give to us as well. To be able to walk in this uncertainty is something we're not used to as Americans. Political uncertainty is not something we're used to as Americans. They've been dealing with this for a long time. And where their hope lies and where they deal community and friendships and being able to persevere against really, really hard odds is something that I like to learn from them and to take a little bit of piece of that and put it into my soul, because it helps me deal with some of the stuff we deal with on a daily basis. And that's a story we want to get out to all the people that will attend, is to challenge what is possible during this time. You know, it's easy to become the woe is me, look at all the bad stuff's going on. I just want to hole up and build a wall around myself. And, you know, but that's not where we're called to be right now. And we need people that are going to be love and action in our own communities to go out and serve people. Even despite some of the stuff, there's ways we can still be a blessing to others. And I think we're called to be that.
Well, and if people do want to have that support, especially financially, if they want to be a part of this Pinyang and Pella event, or if they want to donate, what are the best ways for them to contribute to, if they have some here in Pella, be able to give to those in Haiti?
Yeah, so we have a limited number of seating, but there is still seating available. We will be 160 or less as far as the event goes. And again, at the event, it will be spatial. We'll have spacing. We're going to be checking at different times. So again, we don't have big groups of people all congregating around the single areas. But if you want to do that, it's on September 19, starting at 6 o'clock. That's a Saturday. It'll be at Tamari Hall here in Pella. So new location. Last year, we were at the Opera House, which was wonderful, but we outgrew that space. And so we wanted to go to Tamari Hall this year, which gives us actually even more space to distance, which is actually great in the whole grand scheme of things. But you can register on our website. It's www.m4hhaiti.org/PIP2020, or you'll just see it right on the website. You can click on that link. And that's the best way to register. If you want to send a donation in, you can do that either on our website or just send a check in to P.O. Box 204, Pella, Iowa, 50219. And there's a lot of people that are saying to us, hey, you know what, we can't come to the event or we don't feel comfortable being in the event, but we know the work that you're doing. We still want to support that. And they'll send us a check in with this event. And so we strongly encourage people. We did not go anywhere. In fact, through this all, We grew our staff. We hired people here locally. We opened a thrift store in Clive, Iowa, just in there in Des Moines. And so through this, we actually are getting stronger. And that's part of what we want to share is, like, when these bad things come, it's a way for us to build new bridges into new lands. I don't think we're going to go back to the same place that we were as a society. So how do we navigate the new waters and to build better bridges, build things that are better than they were before, to take people to new lands that we're going to go to? And we think we can do that together.
Once again, that was Tim Brand with Many Hands for Haiti. If you missed any of our Let's Talk programs, you can find them online daily at kniacableus.com under podcasts and subscribe through Google, Apple, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. Hearthstone, a ministry of Wesley Life, supporting the health, independence, and well-being of older adults in Pella.